right, John, here we go. Podcast on a Wednesday night, schedule release. You know what's funny about it? I've noticed tonight this podcast is starting. We've already been streaming for on the YouTube channel for about an hour. We did this to line up with the schedule release. The schedule started coming out last night. I turned on NFL Network. I haven't even looked at NFL Network. So we've just been doing our own show independent of the NFL's actual content. But it's fun. We're already lathered up going through a bunch of stuff.
Ready to go. I'm fired up. If you're listening to this on Thursday, hopefully our DraftKings game made it. Obviously, got a lot. Leave your comments on Apple iTunes for mailbag. I just got, Guy, mybookie.ag. They'll be on the podcast next week, obviously, for PGA Championship. Boots on the ground, just unsolicited a text from a guy, boots on the ground. May or may not be playing this weekend, that just said, Bryson this week, course is perfect for him.
Oh, wow.
This is a guy that's just been playing practice rounds, just knows his shit. So if you want to dabble, even live bet, maybe he's a couple behind. Because you're right. Like last week, you get him like 2,000 or 20 to 1.
Actually, at one point, it was 26 to 1. Bryson
this week.
By the way, as we're talking, since you mentioned our DraftKings game, like you said, it has to fill in order to go off. Next week's going to be a big DraftKings game, too. So next week will be big for DraftKings and my bookie. If you're watching this live, the link is in the description. If you're listening to this, well, the game is already filled or not filled. We'll see.
Yeah.
Also, mailbag, John, you actually said that. We'll do that on Friday. If you're listening on the YouTube, if you're watching the YouTube, check out the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, check out the YouTube.
Easy. Not difficult at all.
Podcast brought to you by wineaccess.com/ham. We'll tell you more about that. 20% off, though. Fantastic product.
Yep. Wineaccess.com/ham. 20% off. And also, we've had some CPAs, some different people reach out to us. All we can say, netsuite.com/ham. Just stop being a quicksand with QuickBooks and get with NetSuite. Do it now.
All right. Let's dive in, Middlecoff, and let's start with the 49ers schedule. We're going to break this up into a few different things so we can get specific with it. The 49ers schedule and the toughest part, or the best part, excuse me, the best part of the 49ers schedule is where we're going to start here. I'm going to throw it up on the video as well so you can follow along with us. But as you're looking at it, what stands out to you? I mean, the first two games, we can start there.
Yeah, I mean, we did something earlier today. You can find it on YouTube. That first two games are pretty ideal for a team coming off a tough season, just a team that needs to get a couple W's, you know, under their arm here. But I think the stretch after those first two games, assuming Rodgers is on the team, from week 3 to week 10 is pretty freaking fantastic. Sunday Night Football, Packers, Seattle. I mean, it's just one of the best rivalries in the game. At Arizona, just when the Niners play the Cardinals, it's a really good game. Then they get a bye, lick their wounds, a little bit early. I think ideally if you could choose in a 17-week season by, what would you say, like week 9, 10, 11 stretch?
Yeah.
So it's a little early, but beggars can't be choosers. You are getting a game with a team that could win 13 games off the bye. So you're getting them at home. Indy, Sunday Night Football, that's non-division, that's probably my favorite 49er game of the year. Carson Wentz, the Colts,
love it.
Sunday Night Football, that's awesome. At Chicago, give me Justin Fields. Wouldn't even mind Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. If I tell you right now that Trey Lance is starting that game and Justin Fields starting that game, how sweet is that game?
It's an incredible game. I mean, there are not a lot of hard sells on this schedule, right? In terms of like, why should I watch this game? And I'm not even talking about from a Niners perspective, just from an NFL perspective. It's not difficult really to sell many of these games. So you're right. I think that is the best stretch in terms of opponents. Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona, bye, Indy, Chicago, Arizona, the Rams. Bam, right there, right?
Because it kind of sucks that they don't have any Rams-Seattle game back-to-back. That always is a cool little 1-2 combo.
Yeah, but it's not ideal for them just because those games are taxing. And you know this year to have Stafford and Russ back-to-back could be difficult. I think the other part, if we want to talk about quote-unquote best part of the schedule, how about week 14 to week 18, the final five games? Now, best, here's what's good. They're playing a Sunday night game, Seattle week 13. Well, ideally, you'd come home the week after that, or you'd have a bye the week after that. They don't have either. They're playing at Cincinnati, which I'll put this on a 1 to 10, 10 being good, 1 being bad. It's like a 5, right? Like, if you had to play a game after the Cincinnati or after the Seattle Sunday night game on the road, you'd pick Cincinnati. You don't love that game, but okay. It could be worse coming off of the Seattle Sunday night game. Atlanta, we've talked about this. Not easy.
They lost to them 2 years ago, the Super Bowl year, remember, late in the season. They're a weird team to play late in the season because they're always destined for the top 10, but they still got sweet players.
Last game at the stick, Atlanta probably almost got them, and then Navarro Bowman happened.
Yeah.
And Atlanta was bad that year. At Tennessee, Thursday night football. Okay, less That's than ideal. It's hard to sell this, but you finish Houston and at the Rams. I think the end of this schedule, the way we look at it, will be determined by what they've done in the first 13 weeks against their division. If they've built up a lead, if they're in first place against the division, this finish isn't terrible. If they have to catch up against the division and you're not playing any games head-to-heads except for the Rams week 18, not as good.
I forget who they played last year on Thursday night. I think it actually was the Packers, because remember, some of those guys were on the Corona list, and it was like, turns out they didn't get Corona, but it was a short week, and they got screwed.
It was the Packers.
But that was at home. And the previous year, it was Arizona. So the last 2 years, they've been pretty lucky, right? They had a home game last year, and the Super Bowl year, Arizona, it just isn't that far, right? To me, if you're picking, if you were them and you said, hey, on your schedule, who would you want to play your Thursday night game? They'd be like, you know, L.A., but we'll take any of the three divisional games, like if we have to, right? It's just logistically, it's not that, if we're going to be on the road. I've been to Tennessee one time in Nashville. It's far, guy. I mean, that is
gets pretty cold in December.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to snow, but it's definitely, that's like, you're not going to give them Atlanta or New York or something on Thursday night. That feels about as far as you can go on a Thursday night game. That's a borderline insane Thursday night game. Now, I get the schedule guy would be like, what are you, am I supposed to be fucking perfect on every schedule? Like, yeah, I hear you. I'm not trying to act like this is an easy thing to put together. I think Peter King has done deep dives before. It's hard. I get it. A lot of moving parts. That seems pretty crazy. Like, if I'm the Niners right now, I like everything. I just go, that's pretty nuts. I can live with my bye being pretty early. Thursday night game, one thing I've been thinking a lot about just going into these schedule releases, the number one thing you look for more than your bye, where's my Thursday night game? Because if my Thursday night game is the first half of the year, I'm still a little fresh. Ideally, guy, you want your Thursday night game week 4, week 5, week 6. Just get it out of the way. If you're able to win, you basically get two byes.
Yeah, and you don't you are kind of playing catch up. Well, we can get to the difficult parts of the schedule. We want to talk about
it. But I'm just saying that Thursday night game, so if you win it, it's great because it serves as like another little half bye. But week 16, that far, that's pretty nuts. That's a far travel.
Yeah.
Like, when I think Thursday night games, I think like New York, Philly, Buffalo, New England, Niners, Arizona. Like, I don't think Niners, Tennessee. And I bet the schedule guy is like, I just ran out of spots, guys.
Good news, like, Tennessee's coming off a road game at the Steelers, if you want to find some positivity in that. I wish they were coming from the West Coast. But
I agree, but I'd say this. It's if you have the home Thursday night game, it's like, that's a huge disadvantage in itself. I get you're coming off a road game, but still.
Road game against the Steelers. But yeah, I'm with you. I hear you.
But Pittsburgh and Nashville, that's not that far.
I'm just talking about the potential physicality of the game.
Agree.
And the importance of what that game could be really important in the AFC playoff race.
Here's where the Niners, lucky would be strong, but when you just draw these divisions, you get the Lions, you get the Jacksonville Jags, you get Houston. Like, you get three teams that I think, the teams I just listed, they're going to be competing for the number one overall pick, right? When I say the number one overall pick, I think most people be like, Houston's going to suck, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably the bet. Ultimately, the best part of this schedule is the part that we already knew, which is that you've got games on here that if you've got your act together, right? If you just have your act together, there are four wins you should be able to put in the win column right now. Houston, Jacksonville, Philly, and Detroit.
And really, in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, 5, yeah.
You have a stretch here. This would be the pushback if I'm the schedule guy. And you go, okay, you two, you're bitching about the Thursday night game. I gave you Cincinnati, after Seattle Sunday night game, I give you Cincinnati, Atlanta, and then, yeah, I give you a Thursday night game, but then I give you Houston. So that's a stretch. If you're able to pull that Thursday night game off, it's not crazy to think you get bank four wins right there and just kind of go all in the last week against the Rams, maybe for the division. Who knows? But that's you can't be like, okay, you're complaining about the Thursday night game. I just gave you Cincinnati and Atlanta back-to-back weeks. Everyone's blowing Kyle and Trey Lance and the Niners. Like, you should win those two games. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
The week you mentioned it, the week 18 is potentially really good too. Now, a lot of times these last week of the season games can mean, you know, people are getting rested, whatever. But even though we don't get what we like, which is what the NFC East has, they're all playing each other down the stretch. You do get that game week 18. That's potentially a great game. Would
2 years ago, they, you know, Niners Seattle was flexed into the Sunday night for all the marbles. So
yeah,
to me, if that game is for the NFC West or for, it's hard to say if it's for a playoff position. It would depend what all the other games are for, right? If one game's for a division, but that to me already has like flex potential, right? If there's a lot on the line for those two teams.
Yeah, I don't even think they do a fake Sunday night schedule game right now.
They don't.
Yeah. No, that's potentially really cool. Is the national championship game the next day? Or is that the following week?
Probably is, yeah. Are they adding teams this year or is that next year?
They're supposed to meet next month. No, it probably wouldn't be this year. But after this year, the bowls reset in terms of the CFP kind of rotation, like the Rose Bowl, the Sugar, like who gets what where. So they make a new schedule for those starting for next year. So they
could
expand it. They could expand it. All right. So that's part of the best parts of the 49ers schedule. Okay. Before we go any further, John, let's tell the people about wineaccess.com/ham. 20% off. You get 20% off at wineaccess.com/ham. Right now, your first order, some of the best wine in the world is available to you. You are romancing
Wine Access,
that bottle.
Wineaccess.com/ham. 20% off. Send a gift. Here's the key to life. It's so easy to send a gift when people know it's coming. Hanukkah, Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, you know, when someone...
Mother's Day.
Yeah, Father's Day, you name it. How about do something when people least expect it? You know what? Be like, I haven't seen my buddy in a long time, Corona. I'm going to send them something, and I'm going to send them something good, and I'm going to send them wineaccess.com/ham, 20% off, multiple bottles. They're going to love it. They're going to then text me and go, thank you. You'd be like, you know, I was just thinking of you, Billy. I was just thinking of you, Jennifer. I was just thinking of you, Dad. And then they'll drink those bottles and they'll think of you.
You can also do it for yourself. Only, and here's you go, well, I don't know. I don't know a lot about wine or wine on the internet. Is that only 1 out of 18 bottles make it onto wineaccess.com. The wine experts have to unanimously agree to put a bottle on wineaccess.com before it makes it onto wineaccess.com/ham. If out of some crazy circumstance, you don't love the bottle you got, satisfaction guarantee. They're so confident they'll give you something else, but not going to happen. You can send as a gift. I think it's like 6 bottles with the 20% off. You get free shipping. Basically, like $100, you could send somebody 6 bottles of wine, which is pretty awesome. That's what you and I have done multiple times. If you know a lot about wine, you'll find great stuff. If you don't know a lot about wine, you're like me, you get a lot of help. You get every bottle of wine comes with full descriptions, tells you what it's good with, okay? Tells you about the tannins, one of my favorite words that I don't know what it means. Oak intensity, fruit intensity. This one's good with red meat, soft cheese, fish, white meat, and vegetables. All my favorite foods. So,
I mean, it's just a perfect bottle of wine right there. Wineaccess.com/ham, 20% off. Go do it. Support the show. Yeah, you support us when you use it. And you get to get drunk or send people to help them get drunk or just have a great dinner.
We appreciate that.
They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM.
Okay, John, now let's talk about the toughest part, of the 49ers schedule. I think it, you mentioned the Tennessee game.
The stretch last year was way harder than anything they have this year. Remember that? It was like Seattle, LA, Green Bay. They don't have anything like that because they have easy games or just winnable games thrown in between a lot of opponents. Agree? Like, remember last year there was that brutal like 5-game stretch, and then obviously once Jimmy got hurt, it was a disaster, but I don't see a stretch where they have 4 straight games against 4 straight playoff teams.
So let's talk about the timing. You mentioned earlier the Tennessee Thursday night game, week 16. That comes 3 weeks after your Sunday night Seattle game. I mean, if Sunday nights or Thursday nights make you need to play catch up a little bit, maybe that's less than ideal. But, I go back to this middle part. Is Aaron Rodgers on the Packers? Because if he is, they're really good. Week 3's tough. Seattle's then tough week 4. At Arizona, we know is difficult for them. Bye week. Indy, Carson Wentz beat them with a worse team last year, right? Now, the Niners were, that was a Mullins game, right? Eagles, Niners. But yeah. But the Colts are good. At Chicago, October 31, it could be colder, but it could be warmer. October 31st against the Bears, Cardinals again, Rams again. So that, to me, in some ways, I think you referenced week 3 to week 10 as being the best stretch, like in terms of entertainment. That's pretty tough, though, too.
Well, then you could say, like, their toughest 3-game stretch, if Rodgers stays, Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona, 3 straight games. Green Bay was, up until Brady beat them, I think most people were picking them to win the Super Bowl last year. So if he stays, the Green Bay is loaded. They're much better than the team the Niners kicked their ass 2 years ago. Seattle, every time they play, they could play in Antarctica or Alaska or China, and that game's hard, right? So that Green Bay, Seattle back-to-back, that's just, you just look at all the teams the Niners play, all 17 games, that's as tough of a back-to-back games they have all season. Assuming Rodgers stays, right? Rodgers, Seattle. Seattle won the division last year. So that's just boom, boom. And then Arizona, we just know they play the Niners really well. Even the Super Bowl year when they swept them, both those 2 games were tight, right? Tight. That's just a tough 3-game stretch. Looking back, it's why you win those first 2 games. If somehow you're able to go 2-1 in those, you're all of a sudden 4-1. You've banked some pretty good wins, right? You've either beat Arizona, Seattle, or Green Bay. 2 of those 3 games, you're in pretty good shape going into the bye. And also, I think there's a little stretch here where week 10 to 13, where the Rams Monday Night Football, that's a big boy game. That's probably one of the better, if we just look at the Monday Night schedule, one of the better games on the
dump. And Niners-Rams has been good since Shanahan's first year when the Niners were bad.
Then you go short week to Urban and Trevor. Now, that's the Niners, I would imagine, if we just, they're a 7-point favorite in that game. But still, that's a long travel. That's a 10 a.m. kickoff. Then you come back Minnesota, who I believe is going to be a competitive playoff-level team this year. And then Seattle. Like, that's just the Rams, just long travel Jacksonville, mini Seattle. Like, that's not, you're not sleepwalking there.
No, you're right. There are not huge stretches.
Like, do you agree Minnesota? I bet most Niner fans look at the schedule, just win. That game's probably a little harder than I think people are just assuming.
Last year's stretch, as it turned out, Miami was good. Last year's stretch was week 5. Miami, Chargers, Patriots, Seahawks, Packers, Saints. That was their stretch that you were talking about earlier. And they came out of that, they hit the bye, and then they played the Rams and the Bills.
Got ugly.
So they don't have that here. You're right. The tough stretches are like mini stretches. Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona. Indy, Chicago, Arizona, the Rams. Minnesota, Seattle. Right? The fact that Tennessee's on a Thursday night, week 16.
Are you viewing Minnesota as a playoff team?
Yes. Like, I haven't done the, let's see, where do they fit in? Are they, did they, how many wins? But I just view them as a playoff team.
Like an 8-10 win type team, right?
What? Give me a reason not to.
I know. I'm with you.
Why wouldn't
I? It's nice to see it. The one thing that's got to be nice, you just kind of look down every time you look at the schedule if you're Kyle, and you just see like a Jacksonville, a Cincy, a Houston. Like, it just makes you breathe a little deeper. I didn't feel like that was really last year.
No. No, after the Giant, after the New York stretch, remember we talked about those two New York games, like, you, the way we'll kind of talk about Detroit Philly, you have to win against the Jets and the Giants last year. And that's why the Arizona game kind of hurt. Because it's like, well, all right, you're going to have to win at Arizona at the end of the year, which they did. Ultimately, they did. But we knew it was going into that stretch. You know, and at the time, we probably thought we don't include Philly in that whole discussion, last year's Philadelphia game with Miami, LA, like all those other teams I mentioned a second ago, but they beat them. So
Philly beat the Niners.
Yeah.
Fulgham down the sideline. Mullins threw two of the worst picks we've ever seen. Listen, it sounds crazy, and most, you know, level-headed people will say you can't say this. I feel pretty confident saying this. Like, you have to win. And we talked about this earlier today. If you want to check out the YouTube channel, we put a video up, like, you got it. You just have Detroit. That's a must win game. Like, the Niners cannot, like, you got to win that game. Like, you just, new coach, Jared Goff, like, that's a game that you just win as the Niners. Now, like we said, week one games, I think you mentioned this. It's true. They're already just as of right now, and obviously injuries with quarterbacks and trading people, it shit changes, but they have the biggest point spread in week one.
Like, is it seven and a half right now?
Yeah. Like, if you win that game 20-14, like, I don't need style points week one. Just win the game. But you got to win that game. You can't lose to the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff, and Dan Campbell. Like, that would be, you talk about overreaction Sunday night, Monday. That would be like, whoa. At least when you lost to the Cardinals this year, week one, I think we all respected the Cardinals' talent and Kyler, and it was just already clear, like, that was going to, we even said going in, it's going to be hard. And then Jimmy played shitty. Like, Jimmy should be able to play shitty, and you beat Detroit. You just cannot lose the Lions.
Well, I think,
because more than likely, they could be an 11-12 win team, and, like, they could drop some random game to, like, the Jags, Atlanta. Because we've always talked about, you can be drafting in the top five and be a 4-win team. Most of your 4 wins, like, just don't always come against other shitty teams. You might have, like, a win against a 10-12 win team, right? The Jets picked second this year. They beat the Rams.
Right.
So, like, it wouldn't shock me if one of these bad teams beat the Niners. But that can happen as long as you start wiping out the good teams and you beat most of the shitty teams, right?
2019 for the Niners is a great example of what you're talking about, right? They were the one seed in the NFC because they were 8-0 to start the season.
Like, they banked a bunch of early wins.
Right. And remember the discussion. Like, Nashville's like, they haven't beaten anybody. It's like, they're 8-0. So, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. They were 8-0. And they were winning the games they should be winning.
And what'd they do? They went 5-3. They went 13-3. And they got the one seed.
Exactly. Then they started playing Seattle. And it was like, and they were in the Rams and their division. It was like, okay. They swept Arizona that year, too. But, yeah. So, this year, we don't look at the schedule and go 8-0. But you go, Let's start 2-0.
Yeah.
You start 2-0. Start 2-0.
You can't be losing to Sirianni.
You can't be losing to Sirianni. You can't be losing to Dan Campbell. But again, I said this earlier, week one, would you want to start at home? Sure. I don't think it's better than what they got week one. and I hate saying it, but I'll say it again. They've had a ton of success against him. They like to play Jared Goff. DeMeco Ryans can go back to the file folder and just pull out the game plans, all of them, from the Rams games. It works against him.
Well, he was on the staff in the meetings. Like, he knows, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, now he's in Saleh's old office. Hopefully, yeah. Saleh left some files behind.
Yeah. I don't, usually, you cut off their password. At least that's what they do to Eagles employees when they fire you. Like, I can't sign into my iPad.
Yep, send it back. Oh, we forgot to tell you. You can't sign into your iPad. Interesting. Sorry. So, you know.
You guys don't know what I watched on this, on the browser. I wouldn't touch that.
Five.
Their primetime games are sweet.
Five primetime games, John. Five primetime games. Here they are. NBC Packers, week 3. NBC Sunday Night Football, Colts, week 7. Monday Night Football, Rams, week 10. Sunday Night Football, Seattle, week 13. That's three Sunday Night games, plus the Tennessee Thursday Night game. Five primetime games, four true primetime games. Thursdays, you know, we could, and I think Sunday nights are, you know, Monday nights are powerful. Sunday nights are really powerful.
You're talking about five playoff teams, right? I mean, the Packers were the one seed. The Colts lost in the first round to the Ravens, but they were an 11-win team. And their quarterback position, I mean, I guess Rivers was, it's hard to tell, but it could be better. Could be, you know, a push. But at worst, like, they're going to be 11, 12 wins. The Rams, one thing that just helps this division is that the Rams are good. McVay's a star. Like, they're a powerhouse franchise. Like, it's just, they really matter to the league right now. And in a weird way, you always say this about the Chargers. I think it's true about the Rams, too. They're a way bigger national story than they are locally.
Yeah.
And I bet locally they've gained a lot of steam these last couple of years. Like, they stand out now, McVay.
Herbert for sure feels that way, right? People in L.A. are like, yeah, I don't know. Nationally, he's huge.
So the Sunday night, the two Sunday, I guess three Sunday night games, Green Bay, Indy, Seattle, like, those are fucking sweet. And then the Monday night game against the Rams, like, that's pretty badass. And the Thursday night game, like, I'm complaining about the distance, but Tennessee guy, back-to-back years in the playoffs, like, they've pretty well established as, you know, they'd be like, John, you're blowing Indy. We won the division last year.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think just from a pure entertainment standpoint, if you said, okay, look, let's look at this from the perspective of just the NFL product. Tennessee Niners is, in a good way, a weird game.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great, weird, wait, the Niners are playing the Titans. You just, the same way I love watching, the same reason they Photoshop guys in new uniforms immediately, because it's fun to see what something different looks like. That's the Niners and the Titans on the field together. Like, you just don't get that a lot. When was the last time they played?
Feels like a long time ago. When I think the Titans, I feel like they play the Raiders every year for like a decade, but I do not, when I close my eyes, can envision Niners Titans. You're right. That is kind of a random game.
In a good way.
But to me, the Niners now have played the Packers every year since Kyle's been here. And when they're both good, that is just, it's a powerhouse brand game, right? I mean, that is just kind of like Yankees Cardinals, or I guess that would be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yankees, yep. Fucking whatever. And I
Cubs, Red Sox.
It's like you need the same. They're in the same conference, so like the same. It'd be like Yankees, Astros. I mean, it's just a massive game. And I think the Rams and Seattle, like, you just, if they're all good, to me, those three games are locks. Like, the Niners playing the Rams, the Niners playing Seattle, like, those games are getting slotted into primetime games. That's where we're at with all three franchises, right? The Niners versus both of them, you're putting them on. Because ultimately, the Niners, if they are good, are the biggest draw of the three, ratings-wise, and you just can't lose with the other ones. And the great part about the NFC West, I remember last year watching Cardinals, it was the DK game, when he hawked Buda Baker. I think the NFC West really pops on night television in prime time.
I
all
agree.
Four teams. And this is where it's nice having the Cardinals kind of good too. If you would have told me that it wasn't the Rams or Seattle, but it was the Cardinals got one, like Monday Night Football, Niners, Cards, I wouldn't complain. Like, I know they didn't get one, but I would rather have Seattle, but I'm just saying you could flip-flop it, and I could live with it.
2017, the last time they played, John, Ryan Succop and Robbie Gould, the Niners and Titans, exchanged 8 combined field goals in a Niners 25-23 victory. Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 381 yards, 43 attempts. It was a Delaney. It was the big Delaney Walker returns to San Francisco game. Everyone remembers that. DeMarco Murray, Carlos Hyde. Not really a great game, but, you know, Jimmy got paid, so. DeForest Buckner had 9 tackles. There you go. That's the last time they've played. This is a different. These are not Mike Mularkey's Titans.
I don't remember that. You're saying DeMarco Murray was on the Titans?
DeMarco Murray.
I don't remember that.
Is he still on the staff? I don't know. But
he's the Oklahoma running back coach.
Oklahoma. That's right. He went to Oklahoma. Thank you. He was on Arizona staff for a second with Kevin Sumlin. It's a great game. And again, well, I guess you don't do Sunday nights on week 18, right? We don't have a Sunday night week 18 game.
We just don't know it yet. So it is conceivable that one team is flexed out there. Yeah, if it works out that way, one team gets it.
Okay.
Yeah. Last year they didn't really have one, and that was the Eagle game when they put Sudfeld and everyone freaked. Remember?
Yeah,
they put Sudfeld in the game and people lost their mind.
And there's really nothing. Once you can start flexing games week 11, there's probably not a game for them to get flexed into. Right, on Sunday night?
Yeah.
Is the max primetime game, did it change? Or is it 5 or is it 6?
It's 5, but I do think...
Did it change with week 18?
Week 18 gets thrown out the window. Like, you have to flex someone, right?
Yeah.
If the game's worthy of it. I don't think they care.
I don't think we're missing anything in terms of... is there anything else that would have been a better primetime game than the games we got? To me, my favorite game on this schedule is Colts-Niners, Sunday Night Football, Week 7. You know, if you told them, here's a question for you on primetime games. If you told the NFL right now, Trey Lance and Justin Fields will both be starting by week 18, would they have put that game on Halloween and Thursday in Sunday Night Football or whatever primetime somehow, some way? Like, would Fields Lance be better than any of these other games they got in primetime?
But I think we undersell what Fox in the afternoon with Buck and Aikman, they value that. So it's like, if you tell me that, it would not be inconceivable that Aikman and Buck are on that call.
It's a 10 a.m. game right now.
Yeah. I mean,
could move it.
Yeah. I don't know all the rules, but listen, Seattle 49ers has just been going longer, right? This decade since Pete Carroll's been there. But I am more excited to watch Stafford Niners because I do know what Russell and Seattle, that game's going to be awesome. They're both, you know, the two Seattle games are just heavyweight fights. But are the Rams just dramatically better with Stafford? You know,
yes.
I'm fired up for that. Just those two games.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I was cool with it just because it was Kyle. You know, but once the game started, I think it has a little more juice now with a better quarterback.
Well, it's what makes it scary is it's like, oh, McVay hasn't even been playing with his best yet.
Well, I think Kyle would say neither have I.
Yeah, he would say that. And that's where Trey Lance comes in.
He'd be like, well, you guys both traded 2 net ones. Let's see whose guy's better.
Mm-hmm. That'll be part of the story. Should you have made that deal? You know, that's the other question here, which we'll get to is like, are we going to look back on the schedule and go, oh, that's when Trey Lance debuted as the Niners quarterback? Or is it week 18, season's been decided, playoff spots are wrapped up, let's give him his Mahomes game?
Yeah, I mean, I would say of all the Niners talking points, that's just complete the greatest hypothetical that you're just talking out of your head. You have no clue.
Oh,
I mean,
we were going to talk about that next.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it.
Oh, okay.
It's just...
just making sure we're on the same page there.
I'm not opposed to hypotheticals, as Jim Harbaugh once said.
Hypotheticals? That's what he said. I don't know. And then he just mumbled. I don't know. Hypotheticals? Before we go on, let's tell the people about NetSuite.com/ham. NetSuite.com/ham. If you're still running your business on QuickBooks, more like quicksand.
Zing!
The bigger your company grows, the faster you sink with outdated software that just can't keep up. You don't have time to spend dealing with manual processes, multiple systems, delays, scrambling to get the numbers you need. It's time to get on solid ground, John.
Yep, guy. NetSuite helps you automate your key business processes. Like Guy says, close your books in a fraction of the time. Think days, not weeks. In fact, 93% of surveyed organizations increase visibility and control over their business since making the switch from QuickBooks to NetSuite. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to graduate. That's key. Graduate. Get to the next level. Head to NetSuite. That's NetSuite.com/ham. Special financing for you graduates at NetSuite.com/ham. NetSuite.com/ham.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I got to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy Video Lock, and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, Video Lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. And now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look. I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 video smart lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Is there a Trey Lance landing spot that makes sense in the Niners schedule? And I think, you know what most people would say? Yeah, week 1.
Week 1. Yeah. I wouldn't be opposed.
Can you look at a schedule that way? That's part of the question here.
I've never talked to a head coach about this. I would be fascinated. Brian Flores, for those that knew him, like, had they thought all along? I think in recent memory, if I just think about the rookie quarterbacks, several of them ended up starting just immediately. And I think there are a couple guys that jump out. Jared Goff, remember, was like halfway through the season. He kind of came in. Jameis, day one. Wentz, day one.
Herbert.
Herbert week 2, but it was kind of by accident. Remember, Baker Mayfield was several games in. I think Tyrod Taylor was on the Browns. Remember, he got hurt at a halftime of like a Thursday night game, and they brought him in. Josh Allen, I think he kind of, they took a couple games to get in. Lamar, if I remember correctly on Lamar, he came in mid-season. I do think it matters how you're playing, who your guy is. I think Jimmy's the ultimate wild card. Like, Jimmy could be good. Jimmy could be really shitty. Like, Jimmy just could be bad in Detroit and Philly, right? That's another wild card. Like, what if Jimmy's just not good? Like, if they just go in with the plan, like, listen, we're going to slow play it. We don't want to rush him. And then Jimmy just plays poorly. Because they are a loss away in one of those first two games from the conversation getting very, very loud. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to watch Jimmy.
It's not just a loss. It's what does he look like? Remember last year? It was pretty clear, pretty early against the Cardinals. He didn't look right. Just done right there. That's all it takes. Win or lose. Miami last year, I thought, was easy to peg because Fitz clearly, you know, is not
long-term guy.
Not that Jimmy necessarily is right now, but even Jimmy has, there are just more ways it could go with him than with Fitzpatrick in terms of trade value, in terms of, could he come back another year? Like, there's just more options there. They had clearly a bye week 7, and I remember talking about it like several weeks before week 7,
That's the spot for Tua. And that's what they did. They brought Tua in after their bye week 7. But the other part of that was they had lost their first two games. They beat Jacksonville. They lose to Seattle. Remember, that conversation started around then. They were 1-3. And the other element with Tua was not physically 100% necessarily, right, when the season started. He was coming off hip surgery. And so it might have been that fully healthy Tua, maybe they would have started him week 1 if they could have. I don't know. That situation was different. But again, their expectations were different. Like, the fact that they turned into a 10-6 team was not the way we were looking at them week 6 when we were talking about what are they going to do with Tua. And they were 3-3. Like, if the Niners are 3-3, you just told me right now the Niners are 3-3. Are we talking
I don't love Indy, though, to make your first ever NFL start.
No, it's fine. I'm not saying that's where he would start. I'm just saying if the Niners are 3-3, then I think
there's Indy would be their sixth game, but I hear what you're saying.
Indy
you're
would
just
be,
using a
yeah,
record.
I'm just saying if they're 3-3, which is what Miami was, are we talking about the possibility of Trey Lance? I think we are. I think at 3-3, we're talking to, now it's not, it may not be they got to go to him because maybe they're 3-3 and Jimmy's look good and some other weird stuff has happened. But if you're 3-3, then there's a chance we're talking about Trey Lance at that point in time. If you're 4-2, probably not. If you're 5-1, probably not. If you're 2-4, hell yeah.
Yeah, it definitely depends on Jimmy and listen.
And depends on Trey.
This year, like, you get a year, you only get 4 years on his rookie contract. That fifth year option is very, very expensive. So the moment that you pick that up and ever get there, if you haven't extended him yet, like, you have 4 years in the window to play him. So the moment he sits out year one, like, the Chiefs paid Mahomes after 2 seasons on the field. It was his third year, but 2 seasons on the field. That's where I do think if, like, they end up paying Josh Allen this season. And I always hate doing the conversation. We're already talking about paying the guy. But the most valuable part about having the rookie quarterback is his contract for 3 or 4 years. And the faster you play, the better it is for that guy to improve, the better it is to take advantage of it, the better it is. If he doesn't really play all season, then when this happens a year from now, we're guessing win, loss. I don't even know how good the guy is yet, right? It is an unknown. So it's like, I'd say minimum, I'd like to get him 5 or 6 games this year. I need to get Trey Lance starts. Ideally, I'm not doing the Mahomes thing. I want to see Trey Lance play, improve. You have some easy landing spots, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Atlanta. Obviously, it depends on your record, and there are a lot of different variables here, but I do not think it would be a positive. While it might be in the immediate that the team would be good, but big picture, you fucking rolled the dice and put all your chips in the middle table for this kid. So if he doesn't play a season and you go, even if your season goes 12-5 and you win a playoff game, you get knocked out in the second round, it's awesome. But, like, Jimmy's done. Like, this is Jimmy's last season, whether he makes it through week 5 or whether he plays the entire season to the playoffs. Jimmy will not be on the team next year. I don't give a shit what Jed said. Zero chance. And he shouldn't be. That would be moronic. Idiotic. So it's like, which I understand, and I wouldn't blame them, but you're just trying to win games. But I'm just saying, big picture, it would then be pretty risky next season, right? Like, you just, there would just be unknown. He hadn't played. So you're going to have some growing pains. Like, he's a second-year player, but if he has no real reps, beside maybe some blowout games, it's a fluid situation. It's impossible. When I said, like, hypotheticals, you really don't know. Right, you kind of know it when you see it. Kyle said that, right? You and I talked about that. He even, like, guys will know it when we see it. I agree.
And what he was saying was, we'll know it. We'll know when it's time for him to compete with Jimmy. Not even when we know it's time for him to take the job.
But the problem is, okay, let's say they know that by, like, week one. Like, okay, but Jimmy's then solid and just keeps on playing. They keep winning and competing and things are going well. You're not just, I don't think, if they're competitive, and when I say competitive, like, on their standard where they're, like, competing to get back to the one seed or competing for the division all season long and they're 8-2 or, you know, 7-4, just have winning records, do you think they would just, and Jimmy's doing fine, just bench Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, I have a hard time seeing that on, like, a week, you know, like, on, like, a Monday.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
going into the weeds.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility if they think Trey would be ready to give them something Jimmy doesn't give them.
So if they're, like, 9-3 and things are just going well and Jimmy's just looking like 2019, not, like, super special, but definitely not bad, you could envision them just benching Jimmy Garoppolo on, like, a Monday?
I'm not saying I envision it. I'm just saying I think there's a way to do it if Trey Lance, if you think he's ready to play. Like, that's what it's about.
I'm not saying you envisioned it. I'm just saying, could you foresee
it? I think you could justify.
That would be pretty shocking, I think.
Yeah, I think you could justify. Now, again, are you 9-3 and like you look like you could win the Super Bowl? Because if that's the case, then you don't do it.
But that's what I'm saying. But if you're the problem.
Yeah, but if you're 9-3 and you're like, this is, remember the Packers a few years ago, but they had Rodgers. That's a bad example. It was like, that team can't win the Super Bowl. 9-3 makes it really. 9-3, you probably can't do it. But what about 7-5, which is still pretty good?
7-5 is easier for sure.
You know? But I think part of the evaluation is like, okay, you went to a Super Bowl a few years ago with a better team around your quarterback who didn't have to carry you. Do you look at it? And this is kind of why the Niners stuck with Kaepernick over Alex, right? It was like, well, we know what Alex can give us, but we think the high end of Colin is ultimately what can get us to the Super Bowl. Now, again, that team was really, really good in a lot of other areas, too. But this team has the potential to be really good in a lot of areas. So it's, to me, it's as simple as like, OK, 9-3. But are we at our ceiling? Like, are we capped here? Are we going to need to be better in order to actually finish this off?
That's where I would say, just thinking about, just because it is a complicated scenario and just situation. I think you throw him into games throughout the season, Jimmy's rolling. And there are going to be times where he gets a series, like just run with the offense, right? He gets treated just uniquely. It's not like, this is stupid. No, you treat him like you get to do whatever you want because the price you paid for him established that Jimmy doesn't get to say a peep.
There's no good way to do it. It's hard.
No, your guy's ready. The whole situation is complicated.
The only way it's good is if your guy's just ready to be better. If Trey Lance is ready to be better than Jimmy Garoppolo or as good and can do some things ceiling-wise that Jimmy can't do. And I guess, but I think, like, Miami in hindsight, I kind of thought the situation was poorly. I didn't think it was great last year. But in hindsight, it's really hard to do it. And they still managed to win 10 games. So what? Like, really, when you look back, right, this is your point, do you look back and go, Miami missed their shot to make the playoffs? And do what? And do what? In hindsight, they had, part of it too was they had to see Tua because are we going to trade this guy?
Making the playoffs is a big deal for a franchise.
It is, but the other factor, right, was the thing that made it so weird, they had the Texans pick, which was clearly going to be in range to get a quarter. They had to see Tua last year.
You're right.
Like, Kansas City wanted to see Mahomes. They didn't have to see him in the way that Miami had to see Tua last year.
Yeah.
But in the end, like, was whatever.
Let's use that.
Is Tua traumatized from that experience last year?
In the Kansas Probably City not. Scenario, where you're winning the division, you're an 11-12 win team, your quarterback's having a fantastic year. Like, look, Mahomes wasn't coming in those games. He was just sitting on the sideline learning. Yep. In that scenario, let's say the Niners, like the Chiefs, are just on a way to win 11 or 12 games, and they're going to win the division. I still think, unlike Mahomes, where he just sat and learned, I think you got to throw Trey into some of these moments. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you got to have him in the game plan.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, Kaepernick had some of that stuff. That's the beauty, is that he can do things the other guy can't do.
I think Lamar did, too.
They're not redundant. Him and Jimmy are not redundant. But it's like, you don't want Trey Lance just out there running around. Like, you want him to throw the football, right? You want him to do some of that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. He gets serious.
Yeah. I think, given a few things, his experience, I know he hasn't played a lot of football. I know he hasn't played FBS football. But he has, like, the thing that Kyle Shanahan quarterbacks need. He has some experience just in being in control of an offense and doing some of the stuff Kyle requires. He goes under center. He runs play actions. Like, he's done some of it. Like, going under center is a big deal for college quarterbacks. It's a huge... Yeah. Remember Goff? Goff had never done it when he got to the NFL. And wasn't the first camp, like, he was fumbling snaps and it was bad.
I think Kyle said when he coached the Senior Bowl and they got all the quarterbacks, he said, raise your hand if you've ever been under center. No one raised their hand.
So I think the combination of that, I think the combination of Garoppolo's injury history... Not that I'm predicting an injury, but the combination of the fact that Garoppolo didn't look good. I know it's just 1 week, but didn't look great against Arizona. I would not be surprised to see Trey Lance as the starter earlier rather than later this year, given those three factors.
Yeah.
Now, we won't.
But, like, I would imagine, like, Detroit, Jimmy's, you know, as close to a lock of being a starter as anyone who's not, like, a quote-unquote franchise quarterback. But I will be stunned if Trey Lance ain't getting snaps week one. That might be two. That might be five. Could be three.
Mm-hmm.
I will be shocked. As we sit here today, May 12th, I know nothing whether he can even complete some of their routes. I bet he plays some snaps in that game.
I think it's a good prediction. And I think last year, maybe we can read something into the way it played out at the end of the year. Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance are not Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard. And the Niners were 5-9 when C.J. Beathard took over for Nick Mullins, right? But we just saw Kyle, when Kyle thinks he should be getting more out of his quarterbacks, he makes changes even if we think it's not. It's moving around deck chairs on the Titanic.
One thing I will say, though, even Mullins and CJ is like they were way more comfortable with everything going on in an NFL game, just the speed of it all, than Trey would be like his first start. Now, it doesn't mean they are not any good, but it just you can be overwhelmed as a rookie even if you're really talented. I bet if we went back and like looked at Michael Vick's first start, like he might just be running around. Like it's just there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whoever you're playing, if you're playing Seattle or Arizona, J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones don't look like whoever South Dakota State's rolling out, right?
That's true. I did see, and you and I are going to do a Trey Lance thing later, future date. There are some plays at North Dakota State that are sacks in the NFL that turned into sweet plays for Trey Lance, you know?
But that's every rookie, you know, right? Think of who's been the best rookie like the last decade. I remember when I was in the league watching like rookie quarterback, like Cam Newton, his rookie year was all over the map.
I mean, Herbert.
Jameis. I mean, all these guys. Wentz.
Herbert probably been the best rookie.
Oh, yeah, by far. But they didn't win many games.
No.
It wasn't his fault always, but to me, what they can't remember Wentz's rookie year when like you and me were bullish when there was like sneaky, a decent amount of negativity. It was clear his traits were like, wow, this guy's really good. Mm-hmm. But they weren't winning and losing. I think they went 7-9 that year. But I bet if you watched them, the 7-9 felt probably more like a 5-win team because they were kind of down like on the whole situation. But it was clear like this is going to translate if they can just figure it out. That's where the Niners don't really have time to go like this is going to translate because they need him to function. But he might need some time. It's a very complicated situation. Because like the Jets, like they're just going to throw Zach Wilson out there. He's going to make a ton of mistakes. It won't even matter.
Right.
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 But I bet in 2 years, if Zach Wilson's good, it'd be like that rookie year when I just got to learn. Peyton Manning reached out week 7 when I had 20 picks. He said, listen, Zach, it's going to be okay. And he'll be like, I started stacking all these thoughts and it helped me to this. Josh Allen. Trey will be like, yeah, I just sat on the sideline. Or, you know, I got my 5 snaps a game. It is a different
animal. But 5 snaps can turn into 10 snaps pretty quick.
True.
So
that's Jimmy's worst nightmare. He gets a little taste and he's just like, whoa.
Yeah, well.
Which is a good thing for Kyle because he gave two net first.
Well, I wish my worst nightmare was hanging out making 20 mil.
Yeah.
John, let's take a look at the Raiders schedule now. Here's what it looks like. They start on Monday Night Football, and we were talking about it the other day, and you said, I think the Raiders are going to get Monday Night Football after the Rams got Sunday Night Football, new stadium. Ravens, awesome Monday Night opponent. This is a really cool game. At the Steelers week 2, a 10 a.m. game. The Dolphins week 3, Monday Night Football again at the Chargers week 4. So this is 2 Monday Night games in the first month of the season for the Raiders. That's pretty cool. Bears at Denver, Philly before the bye at the Giants, Kansas City, Sunday Night Football, week 10. That's an inflexible week, so that game is locked in. Then Cincy at Dallas, Washington at Kansas City. The Cleveland game on the road is TBD. Could end up on a Saturday there, week 15, Denver, Indy, and the Chargers. So that's the schedule.
Well, the thing that really jumps out to me, Guy, is week 1, Monday night, a lot of eyeballs, right? The hype of just opening weekend of the NFL is a big deal. And that Monday night game, especially now, smart move by ESPN, just go all in on one game.
Yeah.
Even though I never complain with the doubleheaders, but it always felt like they kind of split the baby. Like it was like 2 random games instead of just, this is a big boy game. When I say a big boy game, partly because the fucking Ravens, they've been, I bet if we look at the records the last 3 years, beside probably the Chiefs and maybe the Packers, there aren't teams with better records than the last 3 years. They've won a ton of games. Like the Raiders are not their equal. Now they struggle in the playoffs, the Ravens, even though I think they finally won a playoff game this year against Titans, But they are a powerhouse regular season game or team. Why? How do you prepare for Lamar Jackson? Like, he can do things that, remember the Niners season when they were, they go into that game 8-0. They might have, maybe they were 9-0. Maybe they had lost to Seattle, but I just remember being in Hawaii and it was a pouring rain in Baltimore, and you just can't prepare. You just run around like, and at the time, the Niners had the best defensive line in the league, and he still made them look foolish.
Yeah.
This is just a really tough matchup. Niners were 10-1
going into that game.
The Raiders, I mean, the
But couldn't you argue if you got to do that, to do it week one, to give yourself some time?
Totally. But my point is just, that's a tough, like, it could just, you might lose by a couple touchdowns and be a solid team. But the problem is, guys, the next week, you got a short week going to Pittsburgh. Like, you're going back-to-back teams that just won 11 games. Pittsburgh, I think, won 13. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. These two teams go to the playoffs every year. That's a tough opening stretch. And Miami did beat them at the end of the last season. Now, granted, it was when they yanked Tua, put Fitzpatrick in, and hit those plays at the end of the game. But still, like, if we just went player for player on the roster, like, Miami's roster and the Raiders' roster are probably pretty close to equals, right? And you'd say right now, everyone's picking Brian Flores as a better coach than Gruden. And the Chargers, like, that's a winnable game, but that's just everyone listen to this, you know, just AFC West, like, when I watch them beside the Chiefs, like the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers, they all play relatively close games against each other.
Yeah, I think this is where, for the Raiders, Gus Bradley, like, the first 4 weeks of the season, these are Gus Bradley games. I know the Raiders can score points, okay? I know
what,
they can.
Would you say 2-2 would be a they would sign up for that right now?
Yes. Yep. You would sign up for 2-2. But, all right, here we go. Gus Bradley's had all offseason to prepare for Lamar Jackson now. What do you got? Monday Night Football. Because to me, if they play well in that game, and really, I mean, you could win that game 45-40. It doesn't matter. You find a way to win that game. It kind of feels, it feels bigly. Mark Davis going to come
huge,
out.
It'd be a huge
His
win.
First game that he's attended. I've been waiting for all you fans. John, I've been to that stadium. I did a UNLV game there day after Thanksgiving, or 2 days after Thanksgiving. It's an awesome stadium. Like, it's a really cool stadium. So I think the place is going to be, I it looks to me like it could get loud there just based on, like, the seats all feel kind of close to the stadium, to the field. So I think it's going to look sweet. You're right. And this is kind of like the Niners-Titans game. Just a weird, in a good way, unfamiliar. You don't get to see these two teams play each other that much. But I think this is, the first 4 weeks of the season are about Gus Bradley. He gets Pittsburgh. He gets Miami. Okay. And then he gets the guy that he practiced against every week last year, Justin Herbert. So I think there's a lot here for him. I think it's about him. And if he gets Fields week five, great. But it's about it. It's about him. I don't doubt. I think the Raiders offense can hang with the Ravens offense. I think the Raiders offense can hang with the Steelers or even the Chargers or the Dolphins. Like, the Raiders, this is Gus Bradley into the fire, from the frying pan into the fire, out of the jump. And I think we'll feel pretty early like we got a handle on, is the Raiders defense better this year? Because if it is, okay, now you can go make the playoffs. Go take a step finally.
I would say the Raiders defense that we've witnessed just over the last decade, Lamar Jackson is 100% the last guy that they would ever want to face, right?
Like, yeah.
Because they're so slow. And they just never get, like, a guy, like, that's just a rough. If they beat Baltimore week one, probably the Chiefs, when they beat the Chiefs last year, that was a big game.
It was.
Remember, Gruden was mad. They were driving him around the parking lot, and he was getting pissed. It would probably be a second biggest win since he came back as a Raider coach, right? If I give him the Chiefs divisional game, that was a big deal at Arrowhead. But if you wanted to factor in, like, you know, Corona, the game ended up not mattering. Like, week one at home, against in a packed house, when you factor in, like, business elements, like in Vegas, the buzz, obviously the Ravens, like, people in Vegas gamble, like, clearly they understand the Ravens. I bet their over under is like 11.5 or 11. It'd feel huge, would it not? I would say of all the week one games we've talked about, if the Raiders beat the Ravens,
that Browns would feel, beating the Chiefs.
But I'd say this, the Browns were in the playoffs last year and won a playoff game. It would feel big, but I'd say the Raiders haven't sniffed the playoffs since Gruden's been back.
Yeah.
It's semantics. I mean, we can nitpick it, but that would feel massive. Like, he just beat Lamar Jackson.
And did it at home in front of a crowd?
Yeah.
Like, the Vegas Knights went to the Stanley Cup Finals their first year. Big deal.
Was a big deal. Because to me, you lose that game, then all of a sudden it's like, oh my, must win at Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, look, you could beat...
When I say must win, I just
Miami
mean...
Miami and the Chargers would be 2-2, and then beat the Bears and be 3-2.
But you don't want to start 0-2.
No, especially against AFC playoff teams.
Yeah, so that's where these games matter, with Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I would bet $10,000 that one of those two teams is a playoff team. But when you're playing them both, it'll be talked about, like, these two teams are going to be playoff teams, and more than likely, they both will be. So, worst case scenario, you just split. You have a win over an AFC playoff game.
Yeah.
Because remember, last year, as we came down the stretch, Miami, Indy, all we kept talking about, like, tiebreakers. And then both those teams beat the Raiders.
Well, look at the end of the Raiders' schedule, John. Week 14 at Kansas City. Week 15 at Cleveland. Week 16, Denver. Week 17 at Indy. Week 18, the Chargers. That's pretty difficult.
Well, Dubow tweeted out earlier today, and again, it's just on paper, in May, things change dramatically fast in the NFL. They have the toughest schedule on paper. And just
based on
honestly, guys,
my eyes
never left the top half. That final stretch, I'd even throw in Washington. Guy,
you're right. They
play,
were a playoff team.
They play the Cowboys
Dallas
Thanksgiving game.
Fuck.
That's a big Thanksgiving game.
Those seven games to end the season, then? You're right. I didn't even know. John, Thanksgiving?
That's a pretty big moment.
All right.
That's a pretty cool game.
Guess we'll be streaming
that
night.
That's a cool game. That's a cool game.
That's a really cool game. At Dallas, Washington, at Kansas City, at Cleveland. Okay, so there's three road games in 4 weeks. That's tough. Denver, at Indy, and the Chargers. I mean, these are, you know, especially that last stretch, take out the Dallas, Washington. Those are all now, that's all AFC games to finish the season. Last 5 weeks of the season are AFC games.
Well, here's what I know.
And do you want, by the way, are you rooting for the Cleveland game to be moved to a Saturday so you're coming from Kansas City on a short week to go play the Browns?
No. Here's what I know 100%. If it comes out over the next month that, like, the Packers and Rodgers are an impasse, that he told them it's never going to happen, and Denver is getting seriously involved, the Raiders just have to trade for him. Because if I told you that Aaron Rodgers ends up on the Broncos... You look at this schedule dramatically different. Right?
You're saying you trade for Aaron Rodgers only as a block?
But partly, you just need Aaron Rodgers. But two, like, you can't let...
I mean, you could take him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you... But
can you let Aaron Rodgers go to the Broncos?
No!
If I tell you he's on the Broncos, how hard does the schedule look?
Really hard. I mean, the Bengals game and the Giants games and the Philly game, it's about it.
But I even say... See, I think you're underselling. Like, the Giants have a good defense. They've been physical. Now it's coming off a bye.
It's a road game in November. Could be really cold.
It's in New York.
But dangerous turf, right?
Yeah. That's an interesting little stretch right there. Giants, Chiefs, Bengals. Like, you got to probably win two or three of those, because assuming you're going to lose the Chiefs.
Giants, Chiefs, Bengals.
One thing NBC's kind of realized, Chiefs, Raiders kind of alive again. Just the when they play each other, the games are fun.
Yeah, that first one Sunday night and the second one CBS, although 10 a.m., but could get moved. Or it doesn't have to be, I guess.
Yeah, it could be like a Spirit Eaters.
This is a really good schedule, like, from an entertainment standpoint. If you're in Vegas, your home games are we already knew the games, but I'm just reading them back. Pittsburgh, Chargers, Broncos, Giants, Cowboys, Chiefs, Browns, Colts. You know what'll be interesting is, like, what does that Cowboys game look like? Oh, I'm sorry. I just read all the road games. I'm sorry. If you bought tickets, you get Ravens, Dolphins, Bears, Eagles, Chiefs, obviously, Bengals, WFT, and Denver, and the Chargers. That's pretty good. You get the Ravens. First three home games.
When you read the road schedule, I was like, damn, this is an unreal home. Their road schedule is sweet.
It is. You're talking from
when you read their road schedule, I was like, the first thing I thought of, like, how many of these fans, what will be
That's
interesting is for Denver and Kansas City. Both of them have massive fan bases. That's a pretty cool game if you're those two fans. Like, do you try to go to Vegas?
Which fans will be the least responsible in Vegas? Cincinnati Bengals fans? Are they the ones that...
Yeah, they're irrelevant.
No. But I'm saying Bengals fans, are they the ones that will get, like, the attendance to barf ratio with Bengals fans could be really high? Or are they just old school drinkers not going to be fazed?
Yeah, I
feel like
I
lot of beer Bengals fans, and then they're going to get to Vegas and start drinking hard alcohol. They could be barfing all over the place on Sunday.
I don't just know if there's enough of them to really fat you would even notice. Like, I'm thinking of a franchise with a lot. Like
the Bears.
I mean, don't you think there's a decent amount of Bears fans that live on the West Coast that are like, you want to go to Vegas this weekend? Watch the Bears game?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Like, if me and you were from Chicago, and instead of being podcasters, we ran an insurance company in the Bay Area, and we were diehard Bears fans.
We called it George Blanda Insurance. Actually, I think Blanda might have had an insurance company.
Wouldn't we go to that game? I mean, just go to the Vegas for the weekend. It'd be an easy one. That's where I do think they're going to get a lot of... We have not mentioned this because it's not really the time. It's going to be fascinating to watch the crowd, right? Because be Vegas people. It's going to be a lot of just fly-ins.
Yeah, do they have a good home field advantage is what you're saying?
Because I do think there's going to be a lot of road team fans because it's a destination city to like just take a couple days to go get wasted and have a good time, right? Hell, even like take your wife and your kids, just go hang out. There's a lot of stuff to do in Vegas.
Well, if you're a Chiefs fan, it's November, it's cold. You're like, let me go to Vegas. I know it's the Raiders. I play them twice a year, but yeah, let's go do that.
I think the Chiefs and Denver Broncos are going to have a decent turnout.
Do Chargers fans go, or are they like, I can go to L.A.? Raiders fans going to L.A. is a bigger deal in terms of taking away somebody's home field advantage.
Well, I don't even think they have to go to L.A. They just live there, right?
Oh, yeah, with that. And the Chargers tickets available. So,
for shizzle,
it's a good schedule.
You mentioned Chappelle earlier today. He's been on my mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess it's hard when you're in the podcast business. Like, I just want to go to a road game somewhere random. It's like, well, then you got to travel. And, you know, it's just these are just consume everything from your house.
You got the best setup, you know.
Keep a good tab on it.
Okay. Any other things? Other things that stand out? Like, you know, we mentioned it earlier. The Fields game potentially. When does Justin Fields play? Does he play right away? That's an interesting part of the schedule. We mentioned earlier. Give me a reason to not like the Vikings. Joe on YouTube said the O-line is bad and their defense stinks. I mean, look, their defense was bad last year, and what'd they go 7-9? With a bad O-line and remember their corners had like a combined 9 total starts in the NFL or something, or maybe there was their whole defensive backfield was inexperienced and it blew up on them, the Yannick trade, and they still went 7-9.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So Austin on YouTube says, we breaking down NFL schedule 4 months before the season starts, laughy emoji. You're damn right. And we would have done it 5 months ahead if they had done it 5 months ahead. RM says Niners. Some would say the Jacksonville game would be rough travel wise.
It is.
Do you go Youngstown, John, for the first week of the season? Detroit, Philly.
I think you're saying you just once you play Detroit, you go Youngstown, then go to Philly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fern on YouTube says, did you guys see Trey Lance wearing the LA hat? What y'all think about that? Question. I did see that.
I did too.
Now was the hat image reversed because the hat is just like a cool, it's like, you know, a reverse logo hat? Or was that just because he's on his phone and it reversed the logo on his hat?
I didn't notice that.
The LA is backwards. Is that how the hat's made? Or is it just because he's on his phone and the selfie camera flips the image? That's my question.
That's what I think it is for the Santa Clara women's soccer team.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video. What was that about? Just a chat? Does he know somebody there?
I think it's reversed because he has a fitted hat on and he's the phone's looking.
But it was the hat's black or like navy blue?
Yeah, I mean, they have that. I've seen them wear that a darker uni, right?
No, the Dodgers don't have a dark hat. I'm just saying, like, to me, there's a difference between him wearing a black hat. Is it black?
Yeah, it's kind of gray. It's kind of like charcoal gray.
Like, that's different than wearing just the Dodger blue hat. Which he could wear 100%. Too, and I wouldn't care. But
wait, here's my thing. He ain't fucking from the Bay Area. Steph Curry's a diehard Panther fan. This notion, again, all social media driven. He can wear whatever hat he wants. Mad.
Of course he can wear whatever.
No, I know. It doesn't bother me at all. I hate Gabe Kapler. And they're incredible this year. They just won't stop winning.
I know. Turns out Farhan knows what he's doing, John.
Yeah, he's good. He is good.
Farhan knows what he's doing. Other schedule notes, and I think we'll get as time goes on, don't make the mistake of thinking this is the last time we'll talk about the schedules. But a couple other things, we hit on the primetime Browns games. We hit in the video about the Brady Patriot stuff, the Tua Mac Jones game. That could be a big one. If it's Mac Jones, you know, that's their conversation to have. I don't know. I don't know how much, what do you think about how much Mac Jones we're going to see right now? Do you have any feel for that?
Well, I just, if you look at it, the last guy in the world, even before Kyle, to ever, ever just put a guy out there until he kind of proves knowledge, understanding, practice is going to be Bill.
Like, doesn't care that he drafted him 15th.
Clearly, Belichick respects Cam, right? He just respects his work ethic, just kind of what he brings to the table. Hell, I mean, just re-signing him based off that season shows actually his respect level is probably even higher than I'm hyping up. Probably going to be a little more difficult than McCorkle. Now, where it could happen, if Cam's just bad in a game, I could just see him bringing in Mac in like the second half. And if Mac starts rolling. But I just doubt that Mac is a lock week.
And then Cam starts the next week.
Yeah, I could just see him toying. Like, he doesn't even, he's just trying to win every individual week. So if he thinks Mac's ready that week, he'll start him. If he's not, he'll bring him in. He'll just be open-minded. But Mac, I would imagine reports when the minicamp happens, mandatory with all the vets, Mac's running with the threes. It goes Cam, Stidham, Mac.
Yeah.
Just as a, like, this is how we fucking do it here.
Mm-hmm.
And Max Saban, I mean, Mac's like, yeah, it was, you notice I used to be a three behind Jalen and Tua, and then I won the national championship.
I was talking to, you know, I was talking to the other day, was Tom Luganville, who I love. And he was telling me, he's like, you know, Mac, because I was like, what do you think of Fields? We're just talking. He's like, well, Mac was supposed to go to Kentucky. He's like, I know for a fact when Alabama signed him, they needed an arm. It wasn't even like we need another quarterback for our football. They needed an arm. Nobody in a million years thought that guy was going to end up starting games for them when they signed him. Kentucky, John. That's where Mac Jones was headed. Now he's the 15th pick and going to play for Bill Belichick.
Now, in fairness, Kentucky has like had a pretty good run under Stoops.
But if he had played at Kentucky, he wouldn't have been the 15th pick.
What number do you think he goes? 215?
It's a good question. Like, if he puts together a pretty good year, he probably goes top, maybe fourth round, fifth round.
But see, that was the argument back to Kyle taking him at three. Put him in a different, everyone kept saying Iowa. Just put him in Kentucky's uniform. Put him at another SEC school. It's always unfair because like CJ Beathard, third round.
Austin on YouTube says, I thought Mac was supposed to be NFL ready. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you can,
maybe he does start.
You got to be NFL ready.
Was a Dodger hat or just a Los Angeles hat?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Steven says, if the Raiders go 4-13 or 5-12, you think Gruden could get fired? No. Do you think he could get fired? 4-12?
No. You don't, but back to, you do not need to adopt the local teams.
No, but no one, I don't think anyone's actually mad. No one's, it's just a funny thing.
Yeah, no, I know.
They were mad when Colin wore a, what do you wear, a Dolphins hat?
Yeah.
Something like that.
That was a little different. I think he was a starting quarterback at
the
time. Yeah,
that's different.
But he was living in Miami.
Does like Clay drink for free because he puts on an A's hat? No. Yeah. So come on,
but this is
what the internet does, is you talk, you like yell at somebody who doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you can wear that hat. It's like, yeah. Blake Bortles, John,
you think that's a bad sign?
I don't think it's a good sign.
I don't know if it's anything, but it sure ain't nothing.
That's right. You know? That's perfectly said.
It sure, because if you think about it, if you do need to pivot, you need a backup for Jordan Love, right? Slash a guy that if he has to start, he has to start.
A backup for Jordan Love, or you need a starting quarterback. I mean, you can't start Bortles over Jordan Love.
I would not feel good. Like, today's a happy day, I'd say, for the majority of franchises out there today. I do not think Packer fans are in a good place right now. Because you're like, Aaron, are you going to tweet anything? Like, are you going to say you're sorry? Are you going to fucking come out and say, hey, no big deal? Are you going to mention anything? Or are you just going to stay quiet? That's what I'd be saying if I was a Packer fan. Like, when's this fucking guy going to say something? Is he going to talk?
The category of people who keep talking about, like, Schefter as if he broke some rules, like, because he just said what he said on the draft night. It's like, guys, by now, if it was all fake, I think maybe Aaron would have weighed in on it. Hasn't. Likes it.
Schefter was pissed. I saw he Instagrammed it. I retweeted it to my story. Like, because I think he's been taking a lot of heat.
Yeah, not from me.
Well, no, but I that's where I think you don't, I don't. But I think a lot of people underestimate how massive Packer fan, like, they are everywhere. And right now they're pissed off and they can't blame Aaron. What are they going to tweet at him? Like, F you? No, they want him to come back. They're taking it all out on Shefty when Shefty just broke the story. And as Shefty said on his podcast, which he just tweeted out the like the sound bites was people think that I'm just did it because it was draft day is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I did it because it was a legit story. Like I'm not, I think Shefty's credibility over his career, like he ain't just doing random things, right?
No.
Clearly brewing. And then he got asked at when Bob Baffert's feeding his, you know, horse steroids. And what did he say to Tirico? He's like, you know, shitty situation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's like, well, yeah. Hate that.
I love Green Bay, the city, the, you know. Because to me, here would be one. The moment the story went viral about him talking mad shit, one, he wants the guy fired. Two, he's making fun of him. That would have been one where, like, Kevin Durant type player, who I think Aaron kind of is, would have just quoted a tweet, been like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever read. He hasn't done any of that. Now, maybe he likes it all just out there in the ether, because I probably would if I was him. But that would have been one if I, like, didn't have an issue with Gutekunst. I'd be like, this is
why would you do this to your team and your teammates and your organization if this wasn't real?
Why? One thing I read today was, like, he's told guys on his team to like get together and all join forces. I'm like, that's not how the NFL works.
What, like
join
play on another team?
Yeah, like what Aaron Jones is like, can I get out of my contract? I want to go. Like, that's not how it works.
Fellas, we're going to where? Houston? Yeah. Where's everybody going? Denver?
You think he's traded? Because it's not going away.
I mean, look, I thought Tom was going back till he wasn't. So it's hard. It's really hard to imagine him being traded, though. Like,
it is the curveball. If he's going to get traded, it feels like Denver would be the main team trying to get him. I do think the Raiders have to get involved if that's the case.
Yeah. Yep. Part of this is how good is Jordan Love? Like, such a big part of this is Jordan Love any good? Is Jordan Love ready to be an NFL starter?
Well, guy, I watched Devontae. Colin ask him that because he's doing the rounds. He's done like 18 million 10-minute interviews.
Yeah, him and John Kuhn.
And they basically asked him, and he didn't really know. He's like, you know, I didn't really watch. He's with the backups. I didn't really watch him. I like the kid. But it wasn't like some ringing endorsement. Like, Devontae didn't go, like, I thought he was really talented. Yeah. Like, he didn't say anything.
Wait till you guys see him, the way the Chiefs were thinking about Mahomes. All right, for everybody on the stream, hit that like button. Subscribe to the channel. We'll be back on Friday. YouTube and the pod. Mailbag. It was fun, man. It's only just begun.
Only just begun. Fun times. Let's get ready for the summer, right into the fall. NFL season. We're rocking and rolling.
All right, everybody. Later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.